Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends that they'll deliver discreetly right to your doorstep. And you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code ATTWG. It is wild how different each one of their gummies feels. Their sleepy time gummies knock me out in about 15 minutes flat with no hangovers, no grogginess, and I just wake up feeling amazing. Oh, and the Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for those days when nothing's going right and you just need to hit the reset button on your crap mood. What makes these different is how they pair THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're not gonna just find gummies like this in a dispensary, or anywhere for that matter. And they have gummies for literally everything. Immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, and sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS, and they can ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but, as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code ATTWG. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use promo code ATTWG at checkout to save 20% on your first order. Remember when I talked about True Diagnostics' True Age Test? Well, I took it myself and the results blew my mind. I was very wrong. If you remember, I was worried about my brain and not my cardiovascular health. And it turns out, my brain's fine, but my cardiovascular health needs work. But luckily, my biological age was really right on track with my actual age, which is good because research shows that if your biological age is even just 5 years older than your actual age, your risk of developing diseases like cancer or heart disease can jump by as much as 30 to 50%. That's a big deal, and it's completely avoidable. The good news is nearly 90% of biological aging is in your hands. It's driven by things like your lifestyle, your habits, and the environment you're in, which means that you have a lot of control over it. The True Age test didn't just give me a number. It showed how quickly my heart, brain, liver, and immune system are aging, and it was eye-opening. And I will say, I definitely picked up the workouts after I learned that my cardiovascular health isn't as good as I thought it was. The test itself was super easy and convenient. I did it from home, and it was just a quick, painless finger prick that I made Ethan do because I was too scared. You send it off in a tiny sample in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get a detailed online report about your aging and health. So if you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use my code ATTWG to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com and use ATTWG at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you wish to ask. And then she can either type a response or use their voice-to-text feature, and MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy. It's something that you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. And this is something that Ethan and I had been thinking about doing with our parents. We have this podcasting equipment, so we wanted to find a way for them to tell their story. But I love this because it's so regimented. They send them a question every week, and it just makes it really easy and turnkey. And it just seems like a great way for us to get our parents' stories down so that our children and our children's children can have them. So if you're interested, check out mylifeinabook.com and use code ATTWG at checkout for 15% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code ATTWG for 15% off today.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Claudia Kershock traveled for a living. The 29-year-old writer had her dream job at Frommer's Travel Guide, her own apartment in Astoria, Queens, and her entire life in front of her. But when Claudia's travel junket got rerouted to Negril, Jamaica, the trajectory of her life changed. Claudia spent the first few days of her trip lounging, dancing, and making friends at Negril's Beaches Resort. On the afternoon of May 27th, 2000, she donned her bikini, grabbed her portable radio, and headed down to the beach. But she never returned. Claudia's parents launched a quest to find their daughter, but were met with lost evidence, lies, and subterfuge. Now, over 20 years later, Claudia still hasn't been found, and no one has been held responsible. Not even the man who lied about being with her in the days leading up to her disappearance. When a person goes missing, there's a special kind of pain in the not knowing. I want to tell you the stories of those who never came home. Today, I want to tell you the story of Claudia Kershock. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Everyone.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us once again. So this case is just kind of mind-bending. We're immediately confronted with what seems like an extremely obvious cover-up.
Okay.
There were blatant lies at this wild press conference, and there's actual physical evidence that could possibly lead somewhere, which, you know, we don't often have physical evidence in missing persons cases.
Right. Usually we don't have any. But this is also obviously not knowing anything about the case, just what you just told us. Reminding me of Natalie Holloway?
Yeah. So what's interesting, it's interesting that you brought that up because this happened in 2000. Natalie Holloway went missing, I believe, in 2005. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, there was a new round of articles about Claudia comparing Natalie Holloway's case to this one.
Interesting.
Yeah. So before we get into Claudia's case, though, we do have a little bit of business. I want to give everybody a heads up on another option for listening to these episodes early and ad free. So you can already do that by joining our Patreon at any level. But now you also have the option of subscribing to this show on Apple Podcasts.
So
if you already listen to us there, which the majority of our listeners do listen to us on that platform, you can stop listening to the ads for Chumba Casino or like whatever else is being run this week. We don't control the ads unless I'm actually the one reading them. So I have no idea, but I know that Chumba Casino's on there a lot. So you can just like not do that anymore if you'd like. The little subscription button should be there now. And I think you even get a 2-week free trial with that and a discount if you pay yearly instead of monthly.
Well, it all sounds very fancy.
I know. That was one of my projects this week. So yeah, we've got that. The other thing that I want to do real quick is introduce ourselves because we have done over 150 episodes of this show, and like we've, you know, gotten new listeners, you know, and like we never talk about who we are at all. So we say our names at the beginning of the show, but nobody has any context. So basically, I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And we are married. We're husband and wife. This podcast is kind of my baby, in addition to my actual children. But I research, write, and edit all of the episodes. Ethan shows up. He is here. But no, he doesn't know anything about the cases before we record.
Right. So my commentary is all off the cuff. I am literally taking notes on the episodes as she is reading the script to me, and any conversation that we have is completely unscripted.
Yeah. So he's kind of the audience, basically. So yeah, hopefully he's asking the same questions that you're like screaming in your car right now. Yeah. Ethan is also in law enforcement.
I have 19 years in law enforcement.
Yeah. And before that, a short stint as a social worker. Correct. So he'll sometimes talk about those experiences and trainings and things like that. But he is not the type of cop who would ever deal with a missing persons case. So we Correct. Also want to kind of give that disclaimer as well.
Yes, I have a wide variety of training, but the majority of the work that I do is in protection.
Indeed. So, all right, now that we've got that out of the way, for those of you who are kind of newer to the podcast and have no idea who the hell we are, there you go. So let's stop talking about us, though.
Nice to meet all of you.
Yeah, hello. And let's get to the story of Claudia Kershock. Claudia Ann Kershock was born on February 9th, 1971 in Morristown, New Jersey, to Mary Ann and Fred Kershock. Claudia was the youngest of two girls and grew up in a beautiful home with a loving family. I mean, they had a very idyllic upper middle class existence in Morristown. Growing up, Claudia played the violin and also developed a passion for writing and for travel. She graduated from a private all-girls academy where she was one of a class of 25.
What?
Yeah, which honestly almost seems more like a homeschool than like an academy.
But yeah, right.
I'm sure it's very prestigious and, you know, fancy and expensive. But yeah, one of 25. And then after high school, she left New Jersey, came down to closer to our neck of the woods, and attended Washington and Lee University, where she majored in political science.
Where's Washington and Lee?
It's down in like Lexington, Virginia, I want to say. It's past Stanton, kind of on the way to Roanoke.
Okay.
It's like in the middle of nowhere.
Southern Virginia, though.
I think it's still more central Virginia.
Oh, is it?
But yeah.
Everything south of us, I consider Southern Virginia. So
yeah. So not a lot around there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
After college, presumably having had enough of rural Virginia, Claudia moved back up to New Jersey, where she lived with her parents. In addition to her love of writing, Claudia had an adventurous spirit, and like I mentioned before, she loved to travel. In the mid-90s, she lived in Paris for 7 months, I'm assuming on some sort of study abroad program. And earlier in 2000, she traveled to Washington State, where she drove up the coastline and flew over Mount St. Helens.
Wow.
Yes. After years of working as a freelance writer, in December 1999, Claudia was able to move out of her childhood home and into an apartment in Astoria, Queens, which allowed her to be closer to her new dream job in Manhattan, as a writer and editor for Frommer's Travel Guides.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really impressive.
I know. Honestly. Like, she was living the dream, specifically my dream.
I mean, I didn't want to bring that up, but
yeah. I also love writing and I also love travel. And I mean, back then, Frommer's, like, holy shit, you could not, like, go on a trip without reading those travel guides, you know, because the internet was obviously around, but it wasn't quite to the extent where it is today. And like, people would still buy travel books when they would go to different countries. And Frommer's was like the leading one.
Unsurprisingly, I've never heard of them.
Okay. As Claudia told her fellow writer, Tanya Grozinger, quote, It's incredible. I write, edit, travel, and get paid for it. End quote.
That's fantastic.
I know, just living the dream. On May 24th, 2000, Claudia and other travel writers, including Tanya, who was a freelancer, departed New York and headed to Montego Bay, Jamaica, where they had a layover on their way to a planned travel junket in Havana, Cuba. But once they arrived in Jamaica, Sandals, the resort that was sponsoring the junket, abruptly canceled it, citing safety concerns in the wake of the ongoing Elian Gonzalez incident.
Yes.
Yeah, and just a quick aside for people who are young and who may not know about Elian Gonzalez's story. Elian was a five-year-old Cuban boy whose mother was trying to get him from Cuba to the U.S. Unfortunately, his mother and all of their fellow refugees drowned on the trip. They came from Cuba to Miami on a raft. But Elian was rescued by the U.S. Coast Guard and brought to Florida. This sparked an international incident, which was all over the news for weeks.
I mean, it was huge.
Yeah, we were in college at the time, and I just remember this being wall-to-wall coverage.
Yeah, and I barely watched the news, but I remember it.
Yeah, you had no idea about anything, ever. Elian was forcibly removed from his relative's home in Miami and returned to Cuba in June of 2000. So all of this is to say that tensions were high between Cuba and the U.S. at the time.
A touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So canceling this like fluffy little Sandals resort press junket probably made sense.
Yeah, probably the smart idea.
Yeah. And it definitely made sense to Claudia's parents, who were relieved that she was not going to Cuba because they had been worried about her safety there. But, you know, like their daughter's 29, so they can't really say anything.
Right.
She's well into adulthood, but
it's also her job. So
exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, when she called and said it was canceled, they were definitely not upset about that. But the problem with Sandals canceling the junket was that they did it, like I said, when they were already in Montego Bay, Jamaica, and there weren't any return flights to New York available.
Oh, darn. I guess we have to stay at the Sandals Resort in Jamaica.
And that is exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Claudia and the other writers were stuck, but to make up for it, Sandals offered to put them up in one of their Jamaican resorts, which is how Claudia and Tanya ended up at Beaches in Negril. Now, Claudia was initially disappointed at the change of plans because, like, she was the type of person, I mean, she had spent weeks preparing for this and, like, learning about Cuba's history and, you know, things like that, because she was really going to write, you know, a nuanced profile. So all of that research is kind of out the window. But
well, it's put on pause. Let's not say it's out the window.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, she quickly got over it. Like, as she got to the resort and started hanging out on the beach and enjoying the nightlife and whatnot. Claudia also happened to be a huge reggae fan. So she was like soaking in all the music and even had plans to go to Kingston to get original, like hard to find reggae vinyls and to visit the Bob Marley Museum.
That's super cool.
Yeah. The first few days she was in Jamaica, Claudia bonded with Tanya, who was twice her age. The pair lounged on the beach and ate at the resort's restaurants together. It was during breakfast, in fact, on May 27th, 2000, that Claudia told Tanya of these plans, like the ones that, you know, about going to Kingston and all that kind of stuff. And she also told her about what she had been up to the night before. So, like, they had gone out to dinner together the night before and had stayed at the bar afterwards.
Okay.
But then Tanya went to bed and Claudia stayed out.
Okay.
So
this is still all on the resort?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So after Tanya went to bed the night before, Claudia said that she had befriended their bartender, a local man named Anthony Grant, and that he had taken her to a local club off the resort to see a reggae band. So Claudia also told Tanya that she and the bartender had smoked pot and gone skinny dipping.
Sounds about right.
I mean,
that's sure. Jamaica.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So basically, Claudia was making the most of this impromptu trip.
Yeah.
Now, Tanya, though, had managed to find a flight back to New York. So this breakfast on the 27th was their goodbye breakfast because she was leaving later that day.
So had Claudia even booked anything?
Yeah. So Claudia's plan was to return to New York on June 1st. But we do find out later that she actually had managed to book an earlier flight, but hadn't really told anybody about it yet. But it wasn't on the 27th. So Tanya was still like leaving way before her.
Okay.
So after this breakfast, which, you know, they kind of lingered over coffee, the pair promised to meet back up once they were both back in the city. But Tanya never saw her new friend again. That afternoon, Claudia locked her belongings in her room safe and changed into a multicolored bikini with a cover-up. She took her portable radio, sunglasses, room key, and likely a notebook, because she always took her notebook everywhere, and headed to the beach. A resort employee, I've read both that it was a lifeguard and that it was a security guard, so I'm not sure which, but it was somebody who was out there and who worked for the resort, saw her strolling toward the beach away from the hotel, and I believe it was around 1 p.m. Now, like I mentioned, Claudia was set to return to her life in New York on June 1st and then go back to work, but she didn't show. Now, I've read conflicting reports, which always happens in cases that are this old. Some have said that Frommer's contacted her parents on June 2nd after she didn't come in, but I think what actually happened is that, you know, Claudia, whenever she traveled, she would always check in with her parents every couple of days, at least. Like, they talked about how, you know, when she was flying over Mount St. Helens, you know, on that Washington State trip, that, like, she saw an eagle's nest, like a nest of bald eagles, and she like immediately called them to tell them about it. You know, she was that type of person. So they spoke with her. I'm not exactly sure when the last time her parents spoke with her was, but, you know, it was sometime on or before the 27th, and then they didn't hear from her for several days. So on June 1st, when she was supposed to be home, they called her apartment, which she had a landline. She didn't answer, obviously. So they left a message and were like, hey, welcome home. You know, glad you made it. Give us a call, blah, blah, blah. That kind of thing. She never called them back.
When was her flight home? When was she supposed to leave the resort?
So the original plan was she was supposed to fly home on June 1st.
Okay.
And that's the plan that her parents knew about.
And so far as we know, that's what the resort knew as well, that she was supposed to depart on June 1st.
That is what I thought, but it doesn't sound like that's actually the case. It sounds like they knew that her plans had changed. So I'll get into that in a minute.
Okay, because we're talking about a 3-day disappearance.
Mm-hmm.
3 days from last witness to when she's supposed to be home, getting phone calls from...
4 days.
The resort.
So she was last confirmed to be seen on the 27th.
Right.
So 28th, 29th, 30, and then the 1st.
Because the phone call didn't happen until...
The 1st.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, like I said, they called her on the 1st. They left the message. She obviously didn't call back. So on June 2nd, when they still couldn't get in touch with her, they ended up calling the resort just to see what was going on. You know, maybe another travel snafu happened. Maybe a flight got canceled, you know, whatever. It could be a million things. So they called the resort to try to get in touch with her there. And that is when they received devastating news. According to the resort, once Claudia's checkout date came, housekeeping, you know, went to go clean up the room, assuming, of course, that she was gone. But when they arrived, they saw that all of her belongings were still there. Her clothes were neatly packed in her suitcase, and her passport, $180 in cash, credit and ATM cards, cell phone, and camera were all in the hotel safe.
You said her clothes were packed in the suitcase, though?
Yeah. Now, the room was reserved for the next guest, so resort employees removed all of Claudia's belongings and turned the room over. So housekeeping removed all of her stuff. Security came in, drilled a hole in the safe, got all of her stuff out of the safe.
Sure, removing evidence.
Yep.
Unbeknownst to them, not...
Right.
Not faulting them for it, but any potential evidence would have been removed.
And cleaned up.
Right. Which is one of the reasons why I asked about her clothes being neatly packed in her suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
Because when was she planning on leaving, and when did the resort know that she was leaving?
Well, that's what I'm getting to right now.
Okay.
So, like I said, Claudia was supposed to leave on June 1st, and that was the original plan, but it seems as though Claudia was actually able to get a plane ticket back on May 29th, but she hadn't yet mentioned that to her parents. So that's why they were just still assuming the first was the plan, because she never told them otherwise. But presumably the hotel knew about it, because I believe they removed the items from her room on May 29th.
Okay, what makes you believe that?
Based on what a new character who we're going to introduce shortly says at the press conference about the timeline that he gives, the timeline that the hotel gives, it seems like they were aware that she was leaving on the 29th.
27th and 29th, I know it's only a couple of days, but it seems odd to me that if something happened to her on the 27th,
mm-hmm.
that her clothes would neatly be packed in her suitcase, ready to go.
Well, okay.
Two days before she is supposed to depart.
Well, I don't know what it looked like, right? I don't know if it was like packed up and zipped up or whatever, if she's one of those people who just doesn't unpack,
right,
and just keeps all of her clothes,
right, which
in
is
her suitcase.
Part of the problem with the fact that everything was removed, because
right,
now
and
we
not
just have to deal with eyewitness testimony.
Exactly. Yeah. So we don't have pictures of the scene. We don't have any information like that. So that could be weird, but it could just be totally normal.
Sure.
Like that, you just really can't tell for that. It should be noted that despite the resort's reputation for taking care of their guests, housekeeping had noticed that the bed hadn't appeared to have been slept in, that the towels hadn't been used for a few days. You know, it's like the same housekeepers coming in, and they could tell that like nobody had been in there, but they didn't mention anything to anyone. Even when they had to remove Claudia's items from the room after her checkout date, no one raised an alarm.
Okay.
Because there just seems to be this, and this is a recurring theme that even before this like wild press conference that I'm going to get to, that a lot of people in Jamaica just assume that like tourists come and just run off into the hills of Jamaica. Like,
I mean, that's not really a thing though, right?
Yeah, it's like, it's very strange. But a lot of people, like when this first happened, they're like, oh yeah, no, I'm sure she'll be back. She's probably just like off in the hills somewhere. Like, it's very strange. And so it seems like the fact that a hotel guest went missing, obviously hadn't been back to her room in a couple of days, and then missed her checkout and left all of her stuff that she needs in the safe, like her passport, her money, her ID, everything. Nobody was worried about it.
Yeah,
they're just like, I'm sure she'll come back and grab it.
Yeah, she's just down the street in the shanty town. No big deal.
Yeah, like it was so weird.
Incidentally, these resorts are not close to anything.
No, not at all.
It's not walking distance to anything. Mm-mm. Like you need to take a cab.
Yeah, or have somebody give you a ride
anywhere.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so the whole thing with like her missing checkout and the stuff being taken out of her room, it would be a while before the Kershaws found any of this out. When they first spoke to someone at the resort, again, the manager suggested that perhaps Claudia had extended her stay and that's why she hadn't made it home.
Extended her stay in Jamaica, but not with the resort.
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, he's a manager of a hotel. Like, what does he know?
Yeah. So Fred and Mary, though, said that this was absolute nonsense because there's no way she would do that without mentioning it to them. Like, that's just not the type of person she was. So it took several more calls to the resort before they found out that she hadn't been back to her room in several days and no one had seen her anywhere. By this time, Claudia's parents knew something bad had happened, but they didn't know what. They started lobbying their congressional representative to assist them, and eventually the U.S. Embassy got involved. Fromers chartered a flight for them to go to Jamaica and get boots on the ground. A $25,000 reward was established. Fred and Marianne distributed flyers and made radio appeals. Beaches provided accommodations and covered some of their expenses. As they spoke to Jamaican authorities and hotel employees, the Kershaws began to worry even more. Not only did hotel employees seem to be covering up some things, but they weren't convinced that the tiny Jamaican police force had the ability to solve this case. Fortunately, they spoke to the FBI, who agreed to get involved. However, Jamaica historically had not allowed the agency to investigate on their island.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I wonder what level of cooperation, because, I mean, it's Jamaica's its own country.
Yeah, the FBI doesn't have jurisdiction there at all. So, like, yeah. They have to be invited in. And historically, they were not.
I'm curious as to why the State Department didn't get involved. Because they have a mild amount of jurisdiction because we have a U.S. embassy on
Jamaica. So the U.S. embassy was involved, but I don't know exactly to what level the embassy got into it. But, you know, this is where being a upper middle class, like, white guy in New Jersey comes in handy, because their congressman, whom the Kershaws had already contacted, provided crucial assistance by attaching a rider to a bill giving funds to Jamaica, which stated that these funds would be withheld if the FBI weren't allowed on the ground.
God damn.
Yeah.
Holy shit. It's good to be the king, huh?
Right? I mean, holy Jesus. Shit. So this is how, at the end of July, for the first time in Jamaica's history, the FBI was allowed to come and investigate the case of a missing American citizen. As the investigation unfolded, it began to appear that an old-fashioned cover-up was afoot. Claudia's parents found out early on what items were recovered from their daughter's hotel room. Among those, as I mentioned, was her camera. Now, this was 2000, so it was a film camera. At some point early on, presumably before her parents arrived in the country, and definitely before the FBI arrived in July, the hotel staff decided that they were going to do a little investigating of their own. They took it upon themselves to develop the film in Claudia's camera.
Okay. Why?
Well, their PR person said that they were trying to find clues.
The hotel.
Yes, it was the hotel. However, according to them, there were no photos on the roll of film, so they discarded it.
Okay.
So by the time the police, the FBI, the parents, anyone got to it, the film was gone.
All the evidence, I'm sure, was gone.
Well, I mean, you know, some of the stuff was there, the plane ticket, her clothes, etc. But Claudia's cell phone also mysteriously disappeared.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. But that wasn't all. The resort also keeps meticulous records of the license plate numbers of all the vehicles that come and go from the property. And guess where that log was?
The log on the 27th, mysteriously missing?
Correct. It was gone. Not just the 27th, like the whole log in general. Gone.
Oh, the whole log?
Yeah, I think it was like a handwritten, like,
well, yeah, I'm sure, know, it
notebook
was,
or
yeah,
whatever type thing. But yeah, the whole thing, gone.
All right.
Yeah. So nothing on the 26th or the 28th or the 29th or
just
any
the whole
of it.
Thing gone.
Just gone.
Well, I guess that's less suspicious than the 27th forward missing.
Sure.
If it is like just a large handwritten logbook.
Right. Now, they did have a security camera near Claudia's room that would have potentially provided some insight.
Oh, was it not working conveniently?
Well, apparently it was, but somebody had recorded over the footage.
They switched out the tapes?
Yeah. And yeah, so the footage from the relevant time period was gone. The resort claimed that these were all unfortunate but innocent mistakes.
Sure. All leading up to the disappearance of a guest at the hotel.
Correct. Sandals public relations director Maggie Rivera, who's also the one who said that they were looking for clues in the film, she said, quote, "It seems that our security guy inadvertently misplaced them or accidentally threw them out. Just one of those unfortunate things," end quote. She's talking specifically about the logs.
Security guy?
Yeah.
Like, she referred to this mysterious person as a security guy, not like the director of security or a security officer or a security guy over there. He just threw the log out. Are you kidding me?
I don't know.
That's their official statement?
That's a direct quote, yes.
Holy shit.
Now, one potential source of information that they did still have, however, was Anthony Grant, the bartender who Claudia had gone out with.
Right.
Grant was in his 20s and lived in the nearby town of Green Island with his mother and sister. He was handsome and well-liked and had been one of the most popular bartenders at the resort since its opening in 1997. When Grant was interviewed by police, he immediately lied, saying that he had never gone out with Claudia. Even though this contradicted Tanya's story, police just kind of let it go and filed his statement away. Like, it wasn't an interrogation. It was literally just like, give us your statement of what happened. He's like, I don't know her. And they're like, all right, cool. Bye.
Okay.
And they did this even after finding out that Grant had called in sick for 4 days following Claudia's disappearance.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Now, after this first trip, you know, about 5 days after they realized she was missing, the Kershaws had to return to the States without their daughter. But they were able to go back to Jamaica just 2 weeks later to hold a press conference as part of an upcoming episode of the news magazine show 2020.
Mm.
This press conference is where things began to get even more bizarre. At the conference, Sandal's PR representative, Leo Lambert, announced, quote, I don't have a choice but to say what Tanya told me, end quote. Tanya's the freelance writer.
Sure.
Yeah. He then went on to repeat the story about Claudia smoking pot and skinny dipping with Anthony Grant, but he also said that Claudia had sex with Anthony and that she, quote, doesn't mind screwing around sometimes, end quote.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
All right, two things. Where the hell did he get that information? And why in God's name would you say that?
Because he was trying to paint her as this like irresponsible vacationing floozy who probably did just like fuck off into the hills somewhere with a lover, which is like one of the, you know, things that he said, basically.
Jesus.
But back to like where he's getting that information, Tanya was wondering the same thing. She vehemently denied ever saying that last part to anyone about her like having sex and like I like to screw around. Yeah. She's like, no, that did not come from me. She said, quote, I never said such a thing because Claudia never told me such a thing, end quote. Leo also claimed that Claudia had been partying with multiple men and had perhaps run away to live in the hills with a, quote, Jamaican lover, end quote. I mean, so basically his whole goal is he's like, listen, she was a guest at our resort, but this had nothing to do with us.
Yeah. I mean,
sorry to this lady. Sorry to her family, but she's in the hills with a Jamaican lover.
Yeah, it's very White Lotus.
Yes.
Like that. Those are the vibes I'm getting. Like, mm-hmm. Some shit happened. We're going to blame it on other things.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He also later stated that he had personally spoken with Claudia on the 28th, the day after she was seen on the beach.
Oh, okay. So now he's admitting to witnessing, to actually physically seeing her and mm-hmm. speaking with her the day after she went missing.
Yes. And this is where I get the impression that the hotel knew about her plans, her change of plans, because he says that she didn't show up for her ride to the airport on the 29th. And that was a whole other thing that he was talking about. She's like, well, yeah, she doesn't really like showing up to things. Like she didn't show up to, you know, her airport ride. So it's not surprising that she didn't show up like ever.
Okay. So also whatever, what details do we have about the quote unquote conversation that he had with her on the 28th though?
Because well,
this is the day between her last being seen
mm-hmm.
and when she was supposed to get on the plane.
Right. No, the answer is that it doesn't matter because Lambert later admitted to lying about all of it.
For fuck's sake.
He never saw Claudia on the 28th and Tanya never told him that Claudia slept with Anthony. He said he made it all up to protect the resort's image.
Cool. Cool,
yeah.
Bro. Way to ruin an investigation.
Now, it was after this press conference debacle that the FBI, you know, got involved and actually began to move the case forward. They interviewed Anthony Grant and administered a polygraph. He initially stuck to a story of like not knowing Claudia, but then admitted to taking her to the reggae concert on May 25th.
Okay. 25th.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Different sources say the 25th and the 26th. I'm not entirely sure. I think it might have been the 25th and that they potentially saw each other again on the 26th.
Okay.
But I'm not entirely sure.
Either way,
he admitted to taking her to the reggae concert, which is what Claudia told Tanya.
Right.
And he told the FBI that he lied about all of this because Beaches has a strict policy against staff fraternizing with guests, which is true because Beaches immediately fired him after finding this out.
Awesome. So far, Beaches is doing a fucking bang-up job.
Now, according to the FBI, Grant failed the early questions about knowing Claudia. We're talking about the polygraph here. Knowing her, smoking pot, failed those, which is why he ended up admitting to all of that. But when he was asked if he harmed or killed Claudia, he said no, and the polygrapher did not detect deception. That wasn't the end of the investigation into Anthony Grant, however. By August, the news of the American writer's disappearance was all over the news in the States, and people were banding together to help in the search. Harry Oakes, an Oregon-based dog handler, volunteered his services. Harry and his dog Valerie had led successful people-finding searches all over the world, and the Kershaws were happy to have him on board. Now, they had to pull more strings. I think the congressman might have gotten involved. So this is a little bit of an aside. Beaches, not doing great here. Really messing with this investigation. The actual owner of Sandals Resort also is like a part owner of Air Jamaica, or he was at the time. I have no idea what his deal is now. But he actually personally was very helpful. And so when they wanted to bring this dog handler in, the Jamaican police were like very much against it. And Jamaica has a quarantine policy for animals that you bring into the country. And animals are supposed to be quarantined for 6 months.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And so obviously that would not have worked in this situation. So the owner of Sandals Resorts like managed to pull all of his little strings and get Harry Oakes and his dog Valerie in the country. Now, once there, Harry and Valerie were able to get to work. Valerie detected Claudia's scent in the hotel and along the beach leading to an adjoining hotel. She also picked up her scent at a gate leading to the street, which did seem to indicate to Harry that she had basically gone on the beach and then gone up and gotten into a car. Valerie also picked up Claudia's scent in a wooded area nearby, though I don't know exactly where. It just said nearby. And most importantly, Valerie picked up her scent in the back seat of Anthony Grant's car and on a pair of boots in his trunk.
So the back seat, mildly odd back seat versus front seat, but that's not necessarily indicative of anything negative, but yeah. The boots in the trunk.
Yeah. Why would her scent be specifically on the boots?
Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah. The FBI collected the lining of the trunk and the boots. They also took a hair from the back seat of his car. A search of Grant's home also turned up a pair of gloves in a suitcase underneath his bed. A knife with a small amount of blood on it was also seized, though I couldn't find anything that said where that knife was.
Or was any of the blood tested or anything like that?
I'm getting to it.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
So, yes, the items were all taken back to the FBI headquarters in Quantico for testing. Now, the hair was later determined to belong to Claudia, but the DNA testing on the other items was inconclusive.
Hair being in his car is not indicative of...
No, I mean, she probably was in his car to go to the concert. Right. That's...
That would be normal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The investigation also uncovered more troubling information, not only about Anthony Grant, but about that PR guy, Leo Lambert. Anthony, like I mentioned, called in sick to work on May 28th and stayed out for a total of 4 days, asking for sleeping pills and stomach medication. Leo Lambert also called out of work those same 4 days.
Interesting.
And also reportedly tried to get a new passport on short notice. Another upsetting piece of information is that two men in a car reportedly turned up the weekend Claudia vanished, asking for her by name at the front desk.
What?
Yeah. Now, somehow they were able to figure out who these two guys were. I don't have any details. The article just said they were traced, but denied going to the hotel that weekend. One of the men was a Beaches jet ski instructor. His presence at the hotel that weekend couldn't be proven or disproven because, if you remember, the vehicle logs, which would have caught his vehicle, were missing.
Conveniently.
Yeah. In an interview with Cosmopolitan in 2001, Fred and Marianne told reporter Sabrina Rubin Erdeli that they have to believe their daughter is still alive. They said they weren't ruling anything out, including the possibility that she was kidnapped and being held somewhere. They were hopeful that Anthony Grant would give more information to authorities, feeling that even if he wasn't directly responsible for what happened to Claudia, that he knew more than what he was letting on. Grant's lawyer disagreed, saying, quote, "He is a person of extremely good character, a man who doesn't even have a traffic ticket, and the people in this community are solidly behind him," end quote. The Kershaws had their own theories, saying, quote, "What we've suspected is that the bartender introduced her to someone else while at the club that night, whom she might have run into a couple days later. The bartender says he didn't introduce her to anyone, but we know he's lied before," end quote.
Yeah, I mean, look, to me, this screams vibes of sex trafficking.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I know it would be weird to, like, sex traffic somebody, I don't want to say that old, because she wasn't old, but, you know, like, typically it's younger.
Yeah, but again, I just don't see it's really, think it's really likely that you're going to sex traffic a hotel guest, like, because there's just too much heat on that. Sex traffickers go for vulnerable people, like runaways, people, you know, who they can groom. Like, they don't just snatch tourists up.
Well, it seems like they did something here.
Well, for sure. But yeah, so if the Kershaw's theory is correct and Anthony isn't the one behind whatever happened, then is it truly a coincidence that Leo Lambert called in sick for the same 4 days?
No, I think they were both involved.
Yeah, so if it isn't a coincidence, does that mean that Leo took his job protecting Beach's reputation so seriously that he basically became a fixer when one of their guests presumably died?
Or was he somehow directly involved and used the "I'm protecting Beach's" as a cover for protecting his own ass?
Yeah, but like, why would the PR guy be around? Like, I don't know. It's just so weird. We just don't know enough about these people. Like, we don't know anything about their lives outside of the job. Like, we don't know if they hung out together. We don't know if they were friends. We don't know if they even knew each other.
Right.
You know, because there's no guarantee that the PR guy for the resort is going to know a random bartender.
No, for sure. But there's also the possibility that they did.
Yeah, no, I know. That's the thing. That's what's so frustrating, is there's so little information on the background of these people, you know, and like what their lives were actually like. And, you know, I haven't seen anything that talked to anybody at the hotel, like nobody that I could find, you know, interviewed like the housekeeping staff or and by interviewed, I don't mean like a police interview. I mean, like, a newspaper, a magazine, like some intrepid reporter saying like, "Hey, you worked at Beaches. Like, tell me what it was like. Tell me what was going on there. Like, yeah. Is it weird that all this shit went missing? Like, what is going on, you know? Or even Anthony, after he got fired.
He just disappeared.
I have not heard a single word about this man. I have no idea what happened to him. I know nothing about him other than he got fired after Beaches found out that he had gone out with a guest. And then also, what about this jet ski instructor and the other random guy he was with, the ones who asked for Claudia by name? Like, these guys aren't even mentioned in most of the articles that are written about this case. I found one article that was written from the Find Claudia website, which doesn't even exist anymore. Luckily, somebody on Tapatalk had like copied and pasted it. So it was there. So I have a copy pasted version of it that I was able to read. But like, I've never seen any other mention of these guys anywhere.
Not even coming from the FBI?
I don't know.
Or is the FBI being tight-lipped?
Oh, yeah. I mean, none of this like is coming directly from the FBI. But it's so fascinating to me that in 23 years, none of the people who are presumably involved in whatever cover-up happened here have come out and said anything. And that isn't to say that there haven't been people who have said things. In 2005, a Jamaican caller phoned a U.S. radio station to say two men had told him years ago that Claudia was buried in a 55-gallon drum and that they knew where the drum was buried. The Kershaw's own investigator looked into the tip, as well as others that had come through, including one that the dad stemmed from an anonymous letter several years prior. The note stated that his daughter was slipped a date rape drug at a party, fell into convulsions, and died. Any of these tips could have come from someone who actually worked at the hotel or was otherwise involved, or they could just come from random crackpots.
Right.
But either way, nothing ever came of the tips, so ultimately, we don't know. In 2002, Fred and Marianne went to court in New Jersey to have Claudia legally declared dead. They did this in order to be able to file a civil suit against Sandals Resorts. In order to file the wrongful death suit, they obviously had to have her declared dead.
Yeah.
And the judge did do that and said that she died, that she likely died as a result of foul play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the purpose of this lawsuit for the Kershaw's was to get access to police and FBI information about the case and to hopefully get new tips from employees, you know, because they're going to do depositions, like they're going to do all sorts of stuff, right?
Right.
They told reporters, quote, "We want our daughter back. We have to know what happened," end quote. Fred said, quote, "We feel that there's been enough of a cover-up to keep us from knowing the truth, which we're going to get to sooner or later," end quote. And I mean, he truly did. So they ended up going to Jamaica like five different times. I believe Marianne was already retired. Fred retired himself to like devote his time to this search for his daughter. So they filed the suit in 2002. It wound its way through the court systems for the next 5 years before finally being settled for an undisclosed amount in December 2007.
Damn.
Whatever answers the Kershaw's may have gathered during this process, none of them led them to their daughter.
It's eerily similar to Natalie Holloway.
Yeah.
You have suspects. You have no body, no evidence of anything. Vanished.
You know, what's interesting, though, about Natalie Holloway is that, like, Jordan Vandersloot, the main suspect in that case, like, did not stay out of trouble.
Right.
And so, you know, police kind of have been on him for the past almost 20 years, and he's been in prison for one thing or another. But again, like,
here,
to my
nothing.
Knowledge,
yeah.
like, none of these people ever show up again. You know, I have no idea what happened to Leo Lampert.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what happened to Anthony Grant. I have no idea what happened to like the random security guards or whoever, you know, lost the logbook or whatever. Like, we just don't know anything. So if anybody listening, we actually do randomly have listeners in Jamaica. So if you guys know anything and want to like shoot us a tip, please, I'm dying to know. Because Claudia is still out there. There are probably multiple people in Negril, Jamaica who know something about what happened. We just need them to come forward. Now, I don't know if the evidence that the FBI gathered is still viable or if they had to use all of it for testing back in 2000, but I have to wonder that if there is anything left, if advances in DNA technology may be able to give answers that weren't available 23 years ago. It's been years since there was any real update in this case, but Fred and Marianne and the rest of Claudia's family still deserve to know what happened to her. Claudia Ann Kershaw has been missing from Negril, Jamaica since May 27, 2000. She is a white woman with brown hair and brown eyes. She was 5'2" and approximately 105 pounds at the time of her disappearance. She has a tattoo of a phoenix on her right hip. She was 29 when she went missing. She would be 52 today. Anyone with information on the disappearance of Claudia Kershaw is asked to call FBI's Florida office at 305-944-9101 or the Negril Police Department at 888-991-4000. There's a $50,000 reward in this case. You can see all the sources for this episode along with photos and videos at our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social, And Then They Were Gone Pod on Facebook and at ATTWG Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It will help new listeners find us. And the more people that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we'll see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Kona Gallagher and Ethan Flick. All research, writing, and editing is done by me, Kona Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketsa. Additional music is provided by Kai Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.
Hey, you can do it!
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand, through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.